finding her place in the church. And then last Sunday, I believe it was Sunday night, we talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, looking about the hand and the foot and talking about some of the mistakes people make inside the church. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, we're going to look at this thought, laborers together with God. Laborers together with God. We're going to start off the same spot where we started off last time. And just because it's such an important truth, and I believe it's on the screen behind you. It's not on the screen behind you, but Philippians 1:27 says, look, it's there now. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation, and that conversation means how you act, the way you do the things that you do. And it says, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. It's demonstrating what God, the change that God's made in your life. That whether I come and see you, and Paul is speaking to the church of Philippi, he says, doesn't matter if I'm there or if I don't come see you. He says, or else be absent, I may hear your affairs. Doesn't matter whether he's there, coming, not coming, just never going to show up again. He says, I want you to have the same testimony and do the same things. That ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That idea of striving together, it implies a cooperative type spirit where believers work together as a team. They work together for a common goal. We began this a few weeks ago with this thought about how great the Great Commission is. It's great because of the fact of what it does in the gospel and reaching people, but it's great because of how large it is. Can you imagine trying to reach the entire world all by yourself? It's not going to happen. Can you imagine trying to reach the entire world with just a few? It's just not going to happen. God's intention was for us as a church to work together as a team, a unit, to be able to reach the gospel, reach the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here in this passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth because they're not working together. They're actually a little bit divisive and they're having a little bit of fighting. And he's trying to teach them an important lesson that is so important that we learn also. Because of the fact that we need to work as a team, he's teaching them, hey, look, you made a mistake. Here's the reason why it's important. Here's how to change it. And now here's also the great thing we need to remember is that someday the master, Jesus Christ, is going to look at what we've done. He's going to look at, we're going to give account for the things that we've done since we've been saved, the opportunities we have, the motive that we've done it with. And we're looking at this as a whole and say, okay, I should care what Jesus Christ thinks. I should care. And so that's what he's coming. So let's look here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 with this thought about laborers together with God. We're all working together with the Lord. It says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So there's a problem in verses 1 and 2. He says that I had a desire. I wanted to teach you more. I wanted to go farther. I wanted to see more things happen amongst you. But the problem was I couldn't. And he says there's two different reasons. It's because they're acting childish as babes in Christ, and they're also acting carnal. We're going to look at those things later. And then he says simply, for ye are carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So is there any difference between the way that everybody else is treating everybody else? He said, inside a church house, it should say things, there's love and there's kindness and mercy and working together and striving together, but that's not what's found here. For while one saith, and here's where the deep root of the problem was, for while one saith, I am a Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are ye not carnal? They're saying, look, this person is the one who won us to Christ. I was under this person's ministry and this person. And they're comparing one another. Like we talked about, I believe it was last week, about comparing the danger of comparing one another, the hand looking at the foot and saying, hey, look, you're not important. Hey, you can get out of here if you want to. It's the same picture that he's giving here. He's like, look, you're taking something that is so frivolous and making a big deal out of it. He says, who then, and Paul even says, who then is Paul? He's writing about himself. He's like, who am I? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers? And he's saying, look, it's not a fact that Paul helped win you to Christ or Apollos. We're nothing but servants. There's one on high that we serve and that we're laboring together with. And he's saying here that, hey, this is not about me. It's not about Apollos. And then he begins to say, by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. Then he begins talking about, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He says, I simply did the planting work. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there's a right way to plant. There's work that's involved in planting. There's a wrong way to plant to get the best seed. But it is something that is work. He says, look, I just done what God's called me to do. And then Apollos came along and he watered. But God was the one that gave the increase. So then he says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but that God giveth the increase. He says, God is the one that does work. We're just faithful in planting the seed. We're just faithful in watering the seed. I've been enjoying, as we've been going through Moses and freedom from bondage in Sunday school, about how Moses, he was given an impossible job to do. Go in front of Pharaoh, the most powerful man alive, and tell him, I want to let you go. I want you to let my people go. And it's like, who would do that? God's spokesman would do that. And it was God's speech. And that's who we are. We are God's spokesman. He has given us a job to do, to go see people and visit people and tell people. And you're like, well, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes they're scary. Could you imagine going in front of Pharaoh and saying, with a rod in my hand or a stick in my hand, say, hey, God wants you to let 1 million people go. I mean, it seems impossible, doesn't it? But it's interesting that the Bible says that God made Moses a god before Pharaoh. He put that fear. Most of us think, well, he should have just chopped Pharaoh's head off the first time. He had every legal right to do that because he murdered someone earlier. He's a Pharaoh. Who cares what he does? I mean, he can do whatever he wants. But God had done something in his heart. God had done a work. And I want to encourage you today, we have to stop being intimidated by people that need the gospel and say, I don't know. We are just God's spokesmen. That's what we've been put here to do. And sometimes it is a little bit harder. And sometimes people's hearts are going to be hardened. And God had told Moses that, hey, his heart's going to be hardened. It's not going to work. And but he still said, I want you to go. And he said, so that's what he's saying here. Look, it's not the person who plants. It's not the person that waters. It's God's message. It's God's power done God's way. And all he wants us to do is be faithful. And then he says this, now look at this. He says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. There's a connection there. There's a combination there. There's a teamwork that's happening. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. You're working together for a common cause. You're working together. You're laboring together with God. You're doing something for him, but you're going to be rewarded based off of your own works. It says, verse number 9, for we are laborers together with God. And I think about that phrase, laborers together. I think about the word labor. What does it mean? It means work. It means that we're supposed to be doing something for him. With, talks about who we're working with. We're working with God. And we've been sent out to do a work, but he's not sending us out alone. Moses was not alone. Paul was not alone. And we're not going by ourselves. We're laboring together with him. And believe me, he has the ability to help hold us up. He has the ability to take care of us. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are his husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. As a wise man, master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So here's the foundation. Now, you're going to be building upon this foundation. Take heed. Make sure you're doing it right. Verse number 11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. He says, you know, there's a certain way that you're supposed to build. And someday is going to be tried by fire, the works that you've done. If any man's work abide, which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray as we approach your word tonight, we do it with a humble heart. It's never fun to have someone say, hey, maybe we're being a little childish. It's never fun to sit there and say, maybe we're being a little carnal. It's never fun to hear someone say, hey, God's going to judge our work someday, and we want to make sure it's not worthless. We need to do the work to make sure it's right. But like we heard this morning, the Word of God warns us. The Word of God tells us to be careful to get rid of these secret faults and to deal with the presumptuous sins. Lord, so that way we will be ready to serve, and that way the words of our mouth and meditations of our heart will be acceptable in your sight. And as we come to this church of Corinth, what they were doing wasn't acceptable. Lord, not in your sight. It might have been acceptable in their sight. They might have convinced themselves, hey, it's okay. It's in their carnalness. They might have said, hey, I can do what I want, say what I want. But Lord, that's not what pleases you. I thank you for our church family who I believe loves each other and loves you. And Lord, as we have the Great Commission sitting right in front of us and a world to reach and Elizabeth City to reach, Lord, I pray that we see that we're not laboring by ourselves, but we're laboring together with you. And Lord, that, yes, that means that sometimes we'll be working many times with one another, but our work is for a certain purpose and for a certain person, and that's for you. Lord, help us tonight. Help us to see the mistakes that the Church of Corinth made. Help us see the change that Paul was encouraging. And help us never forget that the Master will inspect what we've done. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to think about is the mistake of competitiveness in ministry. I know you said that sounds a little bit like last week. What is found in the scripture right here is because people make this mistake. It was written in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It continues on in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. But look what it's saying here in verses 3 and 4. He says, for ye are carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Now, I began thinking a little bit, if I was going to put this, and I would have want the Apostle Paul to write about our church, what is amongst us? Because this saying here, among you is envying and strife and divisions. What would a church supposed to say? What is among you? Maybe something like love. There's love among you. There's faith among you. Maybe there's encouragement among you. But he can't write this to this church. He loves this church. His church has problems. They're going to have to work through it. And I think that you see how God loves them still and how God helps them and God encourages them. You see profitable things later on. But at the same time, he says, look, I wanted to write unto you about more spiritual things. I wanted to deal with you about the things that you want to call the deep things of the Bible. I wanted to get a little bit deeper with you, help you understand. And everybody loves when you dig a little bit deeper into the Bible, you find out this new thing that maybe you never heard before, and you're like, man, that's really awesome. You know, that's great. I learned something new. But Paul's saying, I can't do that right now because there's something in you, something there that's a problem that needs to be worked out. There's an issue and there's a problem. Look at the characteristics of their behavior. Look what's just simply said here. It says, envying and strife and division. The church in Corinth was struggling because Paul had given them specific instructions. Paul had even considered and made the church likened to a family in Ephesians 2:19 when it called the household of God. Even they call their members brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes you hear people say, and you'll even hear me call it brother this or sister that. That's found in the Bible. It's in 1 Timothy when it talks about, and the younger is brother and his sisters, and the younger is sisters. So that's when you hear somebody come up and say, okay, hey, Brother Brian. And he's like, why are you calling me brother? Because that's the illustration that's given here. But it's saying inside the household of God, there shouldn't be these envyings and strife and divisions. Look what it's talking about envying there. Envying is talking about how they felt. Envying results from discontentment. Instead of feeling gratitude for what you received from the Lord, sometimes believers envy others for what they have received. And we remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we looked at last week, we're here for one another. We're supposed to mourn with one another when we mourn. We're supposed to rejoice when we rejoice. But the hand sometimes looking at the foot saying, hey, I wish I could do what you did. And the foot saying, I wish I could do what you did. And the eye and the ear saying, man, you got it made. Man, I wish I had what you had. And he's saying that envying that's happening is what causes us to feel. And when there's envying, there's another step, which is called strife. So you have envyings talking about how they felt. Strife is talking about what they said. because they feel in their heart that there's a problem, because they feel in their heart they've been jilted, they've been mistreated. What do? It comes on out, like we talked about this morning. We talked about those secret faults that were found and how that's not talking about a hidden sin. That's talking about things about ourselves that we don't even know. And we need to dive into the Word of God and let God use the Word of God and make it quick and powerful, sharpen into any two-edged sword, and show us the things we need to work on. But if we don't deal with those secret faults, you know what happens? Something comes out. And we don't care what's said. It's presumptuous. I'm going to say how I feel, because how I feel has to be right. And as I mentioned this morning, many times when you're confronted with the truth, I have had people, a number of people say, hey, it's okay, this is how I feel. I know my heart, it's pure. And I say, go to the Bible, it says, well, the Bible says you can't even know your own heart. The Bible says it's desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? It's the Lord that knows it. And if he's showing you issue and telling you something that's wrong, you need to trust his word. And here's what the scripture is saying here. It says, look, there's strife among you, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And this group here could have learned so much from their forefathers, because all they used to do was complain because they were displeased. And there's even written in the Corinthians about learning from those examples. But it goes a step farther. I can do this. It's not going to bother me. I can have envy and I can have strife, but we can still work together as a church family. We can still move on together. We can reach the world for Jesus Christ, even though I don't like somebody in the church. What happens next? You see the envyings that happen. You see the strife. So we'll look at the next word. It's divisions. And he says, are you not carnal? So you see, the envying is what they thought. The strife is what they said. The divisions is what they acted like. They began drawing lines and choosing sides. If you've heard my testimony before, I went through a church split. Pastor Tom Berry was our pastor for many years, and something happened in the church. He was leaving, and some of the church was going with him. And they were recruiting people. Now, they did go 20 or 25 minutes down the road where there was no other church that was there. And so they were saying they weren't trying to steal any church members. But believe me, they were choosing sides. And they were saying, and I forget about how old I was. I think it's early to mid-20s. This is all happening. And you know, we got a young family there. Me and my wife married at the time, right? She's like, maybe, maybe not, not sure. So, and later on, we had this happen, and there's envying in there, and there's strifes, there's fighting, and they begin fighting over the silliest things. Pastor had chose to, I made the mention before, he took a vote of confidence. He was looking for a certain number. Because his son was the assistant pastor, his son was a lot more liberal, free thinking, from the different colleges and things like, it was completely different than what our church stood for many times. And so they were complaining about that. And, you know, there's things that were going on that wasn't, they considered right. The pastor agreed with the son, was willing to stay by the son. And as things were going along, he said, we'll take a vote of confidence. We'll see how many people want me to stay pastor of the church. It's not about the son, it's about me. If you want me to be, say, your pastor, he took a vote. I think it was 80-some percent. He was looking for 90%. So he decided to just go down the road. But it was amazing. The next few weeks, it was, especially for a young couple, especially for me to have been in that church all my life, are you going to come? You know, they were friends of mine on both sides, and they began to become pity about so many different things. And that's what you see right here. There is so much pettiness. Can you believe they are drawing the lines right here? They're willing to have their pride be about who won them to Christ. You think about, oh, I'm of a Paul and I'm of Apollos. And I think Paul and Apollos are probably completely different people. I mean, you think about Paul, who rose up and was grown up in the Pharisaical type areas and taught by the great teacher Gamaliel. And I think, if I remember correctly, Apollos, it was from Greek in Greece. And he talked about those different Greek gods, because who Aquila and Priscilla were the ones that helped disciple him. And, you know, they were completely different. They're out there trying to win someone to Christ, and somebody else is using them as an example. I don't have to deal with those people because they're like Apollos, and I don't have to deal with those people because they're like Paul. You know, how silly is it? And that's what Paul is saying to them. Where there's supposed to be love, where there's supposed to be faith, where there's supposed to be encouragement, I'm finding that there is envy, strife, and division. And then Paul keeps on, and he says, are you not carnal? He says, aren't you fleshly? And then he makes his, bold statement, and walk as men. He said, this is just like everybody else acts like. He said, this is what it looks like in many people's houses. And he said, but that's not the way you're supposed to be in the house of the Lord. And it keeps on going. So you see the characteristics there. But look at the conclusion that happens. Paul is saying, because of the fact that they are acting like envying and strife and divisions, I know some people are like, okay, that's just the way it is. That's how we are. That's how all churches are. It's not the way churches are supposed to be. But look how he's describing them in verses 1 and 2. He says they're being childish. He calls them babes in Christ. And, you know, most people like babies, right? Babies are pretty cool. They're pretty awesome. You know, they're new. As long as you don't have to change your diapers, it's kind of cool to be around. And babies, you know, a little baby, really lots of times can't do anything wrong. You know, if it starts crying, oh, it must be hungry or maybe it needs to be changed. And even as they get older, sometimes something happens and you're like, oh, look at the baby. But babies are pretty self-centered, right? I mean, come on. They want to be fed. If they're hungry, what are they going to do? They're going to cry. They need to be changed. They cannot take care of themselves. They act like babies do. And we enjoy it. We put up with it 6 months, a year. But after a little while, you want that baby to start growing up. At the age of 3 or 4, you don't want that baby just crying. You see that kid in the store that's acting like a brat, screaming because they're not getting their way. And no longer is cute like a 3-month-old that wants their way. And like, oh, they're so cute. They're so tiny. You got this 4-year over here screaming. Aah! And you're like, somebody needs to smack that kid. I mean, and we don't appreciate it anymore over here, do we? They need to grow up. And that's what Paul's saying right here to them. You know, as a young baby, and Josiah was out here earlier, and I saw Josiah, and he was cute at the same time. But if Josiah has needs sometimes, and sometimes he'll cry. He seems like a pretty happy kid. But, you know, if you take Josiah's older brother, or oldest brother, Joseph, and Joseph start crying just because of something, what would you think? There's a problem there. It's the same thing that you got to remember. He's saying, when you let envying and you let strife and you let division happen, you know what's going to happen? You're going to start acting childish, and you're going to start saying stupid things. Oh, it's because I was saved by Apollos and I was saved under Paul's ministry. I don't need to listen. I don't need to work together. There's somebody. And he's saying that you're being childish, and when you become childish, the next characteristic is they become carnal. Look what it says there, carnal. He says, for ye are yet carnal. He even says at the verse number 1, he says, I want to speak to you about spiritual things, but as unto carnal. What does the word carnal mean? Carnal literally means fleshly. It literally means according to the flesh. Now, this is not consistent with the new man. This is not consistent with the as becometh, as you see in your verse here, becometh the gospel of Christ. That's saying that there is a certain, as I grow and as I learn as a believer and as a Christian, I should live a life that speaks about the gospel of Christ. I should live a life that I'm changed, that no longer am I like I used to be. It's becoming as the gospel of Christ. I'm becoming more like what Christ did for me instead of acting like what the world thinks I should act like. He says, you're being carnal. Aren't you walking like men? Are you not carnal? And that's the problem that's here. There is a problem with competitiveness and comparativeness in churches. And because of that, you see that they, even in Romans, it talks about the spiritual man, which means the person who's saved. It talks about the natural man, who is a person who's unsaved. But then there's a third man. It's called the carnal man, which means, hey, I'm saved, but I'm acting like I'm unsaved. I'm living according to the flesh instead of according to the Spirit. And the carnal man, it has reverted back to his old ways. But the Bible says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So Paul's conclusion was, I've heard what's going on in your life. I've heard what's going on in your church. And even though it's time for you to take the next step in your maturity, we got to get something figured out. We got to stop the envyings. We got to stop the strife. We got to stop the divisions because they're making us carnal and making us live according to the flesh. Like we learned about today, if you don't deal with the secret faults, you become satisfied with the presumptuous sins, and then you have the greater transgression that's going to happen to you because you've never dealt with what was a problem that you did not even know you had beforehand. And that's why you see catastrophes happen in churches. That's why you see pastors and other members of God, people who love the Lord and do certain have lived for God all their lives, and they turn around and do something that's completely stupid. Why is that? It's because they didn't deal with the sin issue and the problem, and they allowed themselves to continually be presumptuous and presume upon God's grace and his mercy and say, I'm going to do this even though I know it's wrong. It leaves the door wide open to greater temptation and the devil destroying a life. So not only do you see the mistake of competitiveness, I want you to see the miracle of cooperation. The miracle of cooperation. Look what it says in verse number 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Oh, then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every one should receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. I want you to think about there was a division there of responsibility. As simple as Paul was writing it, look, one watered, one planet. There was work that needed to be done. They each did something. And I want you to bring you back. Hey, Paul was completely different than Apollos was, yet they're working together. They didn't come from the same background. They didn't have the same teachers, but they had a similar goal. And because they had a similar goal, they were able to work together. And that describes the body of Christ. There's many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. I think sometimes we forget this, but the fact that we are different is not a liability. It's actually a blessing. The fact that we have differing members is an asset to a church. The fact that we have different talents and different abilities and different God's given us shouldn't give us something to be envious towards. It should be something to say, praise the Lord, there's somebody that can do that instead of me. I think you guys would all say, praise the Lord, somebody else can lead the singing, but instead of Pastor Pease, there is somebody who has a different talent and different ability. It is not a liability that the person that you're sitting next to or sitting in the same row with is different than you. It becomes a liability when you look at that person, you become envious of that person, and you begin to act as strife and let divisions to happen. God brings us all, he tempers us all together. He looked at that a little bit last week. And I want to encourage you, no matter who you are, it means that we're just first servants. Look what he says here. He's talking about, he goes down and he said, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers. He said, oh, I mean, that means preachers. No, it's talking about who were servants. That's the first place. I've told you before, as a pastor, I believe I get, you know what that means? I'm just number one servant. Or first servant. I know number one's the right word to say. First bottle washer, whatever you want to call it. You know, God's called me to be an under-shepherd of the church and to lead the church, and I think that should be done in a way of saying, I'm a servant of God, and someone's going to water, someone's going to plant, and I can't be envious of what other things that happen. You come in and you hear sometimes preachers get up and they preach, and I was taught in my Sunday school class this morning, different people have different personalities. Different people have different abilities and different talents. Some people get up and they yell and they holler. They're your favorites, right, Mr. Steve? Mr. Steve doesn't really like the yellows and hollers and, you know, the guys with their veins popping out. Some people love those guys that run around and they jump on the pews, you know, other things like that. And then there's other people who like a very calm and a very monotone speaker. I've actually had people tell me they thought I was too loud. Some laugh because you know what I'm saying, because if you ever been to a camp meeting, they would say that I was pretty quiet. And so the reality is, should I be envious because of the fact that, you know, a Brother Barnhouse comes and God uses him to speak to your heart? that would be the most ridiculous thing in the world. Oh, you guys like Brother Barnhouse. I don't know why, but you guys like Brother Barnhouse. And, you know, as some reason, he, when he speaks, when he preaches, God convicts people's hearts. Should I say, oh, wait, he had more people at the altar than I did. I'm not going to have him come back. How stupid would that be? That's silliness. And that's what's happening here. They're saying, oh, no, my preacher's better. No, my preacher's better. I can't work with you until you agree that my preacher's better. And, you know, once again, the speakers that come in, once again, different personalities, different takes, different. I honestly pray about them. I let the Lord lead me and guide me. Some of them I really enjoy. Some aren't my favorite sometimes. But you know what? I do exactly what I think the Lord wants me to do. And some I like to schedule every single time. Other ones I'd be like, but that's what the Lord wants. It's okay. It's not my job to be envious of them. It's not my job to have with Brother Joe being here to sit there and be envious because of the fact that, you know, someone might like enjoy the way he teaches or preaches a little bit better than mine. That's not the job there. It's our job to work together, and we should do it as a group, as a church, because envying will cause strife. Strife will cause divisions, and when that happens, nothing's getting done. So our role is servants, ministers. The analogy is the people that sow and the people that water are the people, they are, even though they can be trained, they are elementary type task. They require someone setting up and teaching them, showing what to sow and how to do it, but they are something that ministers do, servants do. Those who truly follow after Jesus Christ learned this very quickly, that we did not come to get ministered unto, but we came to minister to others. So even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. So I want you to encourage you, this is the mistake up here in verses 1 through 4. Verses 5 through 9 and 10 has the right perspective. We're working together. We have a connection. Verse 8 begins, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. They're two men working in the same field. They're attempting to produce the same harvest. They are not on opposing sides. Even though you might sit on this side of the church and you might sit on this side of the church, we should have the same common goal. So what's it say here? That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together. It's not that I'm opposing or working against you. I'm working with you for the same common goal, for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we miss that because of the fact that where envying and strife and divisions happen. You say, well, wait, I don't want to work with that person because they're going to mess up and they're going to, the Bible even talks about that. It even says that we're going to get our own reward. Look what it says. It says in verse number 8 at the end, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Hey, you don't have to worry about so-and-so not holding their weight. It's your job to get together and work together for the same common goal. God sees, God knows, and he's going to reward you as an individual. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Hebrews 6:10. God is not going to gyp you. That's one thing God does not do. He's not going to gyp you. But it teaches you that they're just first servants, but it teaches us that our reliance is found on God. Look what it says in verses 9 and 10. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which he's given unto you, a wise master builder. It's God that does this. It's God that gives the increase. We're dependent upon him. We rely upon him. God is our companion in work. I love it when it says in the Great Commission, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Moses wasn't by himself when he went up to Pharaoh, and we are not by ourselves when we go out and do what God's called us to do. We are God's husbandry. We are God's, what God is making us. He also enables us. He describes him as a wise master builder in verse number 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. He is someone that he is saying that he's giving us the grace to handle these things. He enables us to do the work he's called us to do. The third thing, and this will be the last thing, the master's review of the work. And we're going to skip some verses here, going to go down to verse number 14 and 15. If any man's work abide which he have built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What the picture is there is the judgment seat of Christ, and we're bringing our works, and we're bringing the things that we've done, and we're laying it before God, and we got to remember that someday God's going to judge us for that. Someday he's going to say, you were more interested in fighting with one another, getting your way with one another, than trying to reach somebody for Jesus Christ. He says, that is childish. That's carnal. Let's work together for the cause of Christ. I'm not saying put up with sin. I'm not saying let sin in. We want to deal with those secret faults. We want to deal with those presumptuous sins. We want to deal with what God has called us to deal with. But we must learn to work together for the cause of Christ. I have here, I have some ushers come forward, or some guys come forward. I have some surveys here we're going to go over real quick. Look at that. You got four that responded super fast. Three that responded super fast. There's four. Can you pass it out? For anybody that's 13 and above, can I have one, Brother Scott? Thanks. So these are surveys. These are things that opportunities at church that we're going to do. We're going to go over these real quick, and then we're going to have our invitation time. I do not want you to fill them out now. You say, Pastor, why didn't you give it to us at a different time? Because I know you guys would have read them during the message. And I didn't want that. Didn't want to be discouraged by saying, even though I asked you not to. And they turn around and say, so 12 or 13 and above, that's all the ones that need it. It's because if you didn't get one, you can get one later. It's different ministry opportunities. So let me prerequisite a couple of things here. Now, there are certain responsibilities for certain ministries that... sometimes you got to be a church member, and that's, I think there's some reasonableness to that. If you're going to be a teacher, you got to be faithful to the services, and so there's some requirements that go with some of these things, but this is a survey that I'd like for you to turn in next week or on Wednesday night about different areas that are responsible at the church that we can always use help with. Sometimes it might mean, hey, we don't need any help right this time, but I want to be able to compile a list of different people that are willing to work in different ministries to be able to better use better use the talents that God's given us here in our church. So there is a list of different things here. We're going to go over it real quick so you can understand it. Like I said, some things are actually things we're going to be working towards and getting some new people to help us with. But sort of like the greeting ministry, something we want to get started back up. But here's a couple things, and we'll go over this. So please let us know what ministries you would like to get involved in. Does that mean that we're all going to be involved in this one? If you didn't get one, raise your hand and you want one. You got one up here. Izzy up here. Anybody else? Yep. There you go. Izzy behind you. There you go. So here's some different things, and this is not a... entire list. There are so many different ministries that go on around here that we could use even, but these are just some of the main ones. Bus ministry. So you say bus ministry, we don't have a bus ministry right now. And we stopped van ministry because of the COVID things. And as we reapproach it, we want to make sure we have enough helpers, enough workers. Everything we do, I think we should do well, and we should have enough to be able to handle the kids and also inside the classrooms. So different responsibilities, a drive. It says drive. It should be driver. So you can already see that. I got a mistake on there. Driver, helper. Helper is a person who sits on the bus with the kids, making sure they behave, have their seatbelts on while they're driving. Visiting kids means, hey, I'm willing to go every Saturday, visit the kids, make sure they're coming back, and just keep an eye on them, get a chance to witness to their parents, get into the homes. So you say, Pastor, how do I write down? I don't care if you circle it. I don't care if you write underneath it the thing that you're interested in. So those are the bus ministry. Next one is kind of a very vast and big ministry. It's children's and teen ministries. And you have the spots there for teachers, assistants, visiting with kids, helping with activities, and then which age group you feel comfortable with. If there's every age group and everything, you can just write down anything and everything. The nursery ministry. Now, this is for ladies. This is not for guys. Nursery ministry, how many times a month would you be willing to help? And do you have a preferred service that you like to help in? And once again, there is an age there before you start working. You got to have it be a certain age. And also, there's a certain number of times that you're allowed to help in a month. We do not like people being out of more than two services. We actually only like them being out of one service a week, but sometimes people have more than that responsibilities because of the help we need. Child care. What does child care mean? Child care is something that would help provide child care for special events. It's like it's something like an adult activity. Kids crusade, well, that's kids. I'm talking obviously for then it would be ages 3 and younger. even visitation and other things like that, someone say, hey, look, I'd be willing to give some time to be able to help with some childcare at different times. Greeters ministry. You say, what's a greeter? Somebody who greets people. So, but is that at the front door? They hold the door open. They welcome the people. If they're new, they ask, you know, help them with, show them where the restrooms are at, show them all those different things. It helps to have a smiling face, helps be nice, helps to, you know, make people feel welcome. And you have preferred services there. Ushering. I think that's pretty self-explanatory when it comes to ushering. Sound booth, website, and Facebook updating. Those are different things that, once again, we may not need as much help right now, but we want to compile a list with this, and the Facebook and website updating are future things, and we'd like to have somebody that has special, well, once again, there are certain qualifications that are involved in that. Decorating for special events. Kids Crusade, Miss Carol's always looking for help to decorate. And there's different other things that we could use help with. They did some decorating for junior camp, and it's that way we know that you have an interest and willing to help with that. Drama. So next week you're going to see a lot of drama up here on the stage. Drama being the speakers doing some dramatic reading. Some of them haven't memorized. So if someone would like to be a part of that, as you see, I don't ever know. Usually when I ask somebody about being in a drama, they look at me like they're scared half to death. I asked somebody a question today, hey, I have a few lines that need to be read. And they looked at me like I was asking, like I was scaring them. So it would be nice to know for people that are interested. Obviously, we don't always need 100 people. There's only usually small parts. But if you'd like to have a part in that, and I don't know, please let me know. Directing, acting, scenery, all those things that are needed inside our drama. Cleaning of the building. We already have people that clean the building on a weekly basis. I understand that. But if you'd be willing to help come in and clean a special thing for, like, cleaning the new fellowship hall for a special fellowship we're having, or cleaning certain things. I don't want to commit to every week, but once a month I could come in. I have people that that deep clean the rugs inside the nursery once a month, but there's a lot of things around our church that could use some cleaning and could use some help with. Grass cutting and outdoor lawn care. You know, we do have a group of guys right now that are helping us with that, but if you want to be a part of that, there's weeding, there's spraying, there's all different types of things that could be done if you're interested in being a part of that. We're going to try to redo the front a little bit and redesign some of the outward stuff there. If you'd like to be a part of that, that'd be a good thing to write down. Fellowships, you know, always can use help with fellowships, whether it's setting up and serving and cooking and cleaning. And there's people who are in charge and help us with that, but we like to know if you like to be involved in those. So we're going to make that list and say these are the people that were interested in being a part of that. Preparing meals for others. Sometimes there's meals that are being prepared when people recover from surgery, when they've lost a loved one, shut in. Sometimes there's just meals that need to be made, and some people enjoy helping with that. Some people may not, but we like to know, have a list of people that would like to be a part of that, so you won't be called every single time, but other times. Nursing home ministry. Right now, we don't have a nursing home ministry because you're not allowed inside the nursing homes to perform ministries, but we'd like to know who would like to be a part of that. Puppet ministry. And that's usually, we stick with that with teenagers and young adults. But if you guys would like to, other people would be interested in doing that. Once again, you have to be a certain age to help with that. But I would not know if you were interested in being that. That's what the purpose of the survey is. Canvassing and visits. Now, we're going to have visitation every single week at 10 o'clock when we go knock on doors. But there will be other times when we want to canvass areas where we just put things on doors. And other people who say, I don't really feel comfortable knocking on a door, but I'd be willing to go visit a shut-in. I'd be willing to go visit somebody in the hospital. I'd be willing to go visit others that would need encouragement. And I can't just always make it Saturday morning, but you put yourself on this list, and then when I have a need, I can say, hey, can you keep an eye on this person, or can you visit this person? Last two, would you like to host a widow ladies luncheon? Those, once again, with COVID, that's messed those things up, but sometimes they have a luncheon where the widows would go into someone's house and they would help prepare the meal. Miss Gail does a good job with the widow ladies. Miss Nikki there, they help provide the entertainment, and it's very entertaining. And if you've ever been to a widow ladies' luncheon, you know what we're talking about. But someone to give them a house and food and things like that. And would you like to host a teen afterglow? You say, what's a teen afterglow? That's Sunday nights after church. They go once, usually about once a month, and have an activity. We've been to a number of your houses, but once again, we like to know the houses that would be available with. Don't worry if you sign up for tonight. We're not going to send them to your house tonight. It would be worked out ahead of time. But this is to help me compile a list to do things. Here's a couple of things I don't want you to do. Once again, this is pastor trying to give some instruction here, so hopefully you listen. When it says list ministries you're currently involved in, and please be specific about what ministry you hold. Right, that's the first thing. If there's something you're involved with, please let me know. You say, Pastor, you should already know. I know I should know, and I think I know. I think I know what you think that you're in, but sometimes I could be wrong. So what you think is important to me too. And if you would prefer not to be in that ministry anymore, this is not really a survey to get people to stop serving. But if there's something that you would prefer to step away from in the future, let me know that. So please write those out. I would really like to have everybody that is, 13 and up that wants to answer something on that piece of paper, this to fill it out. And I know what somebody's going to say. I'll do whatever you want, Pastor. Which is great. It's a great attitude. But you know what? Many times when I say, hey, we need help with this, that person doesn't show up. It's because I didn't ask them, which is okay. But the point is, I don't want to have to go around saying, hey, would you be willing? And sometimes the Lord leads that way. But if you tell me that the things that you're interested in, it would help me. And I know sometimes when I get in a jam, there's certain people I can call, certain people that would help. I understand that. But this is to try to help develop a list. So that way the hands are doing the hands job and the feet are doing the feet job. If you weren't here last Sunday night, you might not be getting what I'm saying. But if you were there, you understand what I'm saying. These are areas that you feel like you're gifted in, or at least feel like you're called to do, and areas that you're willing to do. That's really important. So fill those out. You can give them to me Wednesday night, next Sunday. But there are a few things we like to begin with, and we like to begin doing a greeters ministry there very quickly. And there's some other things we'd like to work towards, and we need your help to know who would like to be a part of that. Don't worry, you're not signing your life away. Don't worry to think that you're never going to be able to be released. You're going to be stuck in the nursery forever, never going to be able to get out. That's just not the truth. But we want you to be a part. And lots of times people would do things, but they've never been asked. So guess what I'm doing? I'm asking you right now these things that you would feel comfortable with, or at least feel called to, or at least willing to. There's different levels there. But I want to encourage you tonight. Deal with the things inside. Don't keep on presumptuous sins inside our church's life. Because strife, envying will cause strife, which will cause divisions. And that stops the work of God just right there for that family. And lots of times for another family. And as they begin to have their friends kind of, I'm joining this person's side, I'm joining this person's side. You know who's not getting reached? The world. And we got people, oh, I'm on this guy's side, and you say, that's silliness. I've seen it happen. I've watched it happen in a church I loved and grew up with, and I really had to earnestly pray to see where God wanted me to be at, because that was my pastor. And I'm thankful for the church I chose. I stayed at the church that God had called me to and I was born in. When I was a child, I'm thankful for that. And God worked and God called me here from there. And it's great. But I know that when there was fighting amongst, or when there was this person, no one was getting reached for the cause of Christ. No one was being, because there was divisions. Aren't you walking like men when you do that? The household of faith is something that's supposed to be different. So let's pray and ask God to help us be a part of that. So let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. I'm going to pray and then we're going to start the invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord,